Since the day that you were born, you have changed. Starting from being a young little baby needing your parents' attention for food, clothing and protection, growing through the years, experiencing adolescence with all of its physical changes and emotional changes, through to adulthood, and the changes that ensue as we get older. We change. But it's not just physical changes that we experience. Throughout our lives, whether we like it or not, we experience seasons of change. Some of these changes are welcome, while others will be ones that perhaps we dread or we want to run away from. Seasons of change may include getting married, having children, moving house, relocating to a different part of the country, starting a new job, facing a health issue, relationship strains and stresses, losing a loved one, to name just a few different examples. Change can cause us to feel many extremes of emotions. For those who enjoy change, it may bring feelings of excitement, adventure, new beginnings, opportunities to grow. For those who dislike change, it may bring a fear of the unknown, insecurity, not being in control, fear of something going wrong, risk, or perhaps we get too comfortable where we are, or simply we're just not ready or not willing to change. So that's that. However we feel about change, one thing is for sure. Change is an inevitable part of life. To try to fight against change is actually futile. It does nothing. The biggest challenge then is, how are you and I going to face up to the seasons of change when they come? The Bible, the very instruction manual of life that we go to, thankfully has things to say about change. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the sun, or under heaven. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And Philippians 4 verse 6 to 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Above all the things that we've just mentioned, when we face seasons of change, we need to remember this one key. Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. He is unchanging. He is perfect in all his ways. He doesn't need to change. He is the unchanging one. You can rely on him whatever season you're facing with change. And however you feel about that said change, you can know that he will be with you. But you know what? God loves us enough to know that we do actually need to change. He might not need to change, but you do. I do. Why? Because we need to become more like him. None of us are perfect. We need to keep changing to be like him. We need to travel through the seasons. Some seasons that are great. Some seasons that are tough. Some seasons that we feel like we're out for the count. But God leads us and guides us through. You see, God wants us to understand this morning, that change is not something that you need to fear or dread, but it's an opportunity for you to grow in your faith. But it's also an opportunity, as we've just said, to become more like him, to become the person that he's designed you and me to be. So at the start of June, it seems a long way away, long time ago, I think it's like 5 weeks ago, we started the series called Change. It's still trying to load at the moment after 4 weeks. Still trying to load. Change takes time, doesn't it? But we are in this season of, in this series of change, looking at how we can best face up to these seasons of change. We introduce the idea of a four-stage process that we see implemented throughout Scripture. I'm going to give us a very brief overview of the last 3 weeks, but if you've missed any of those sermons, you can find them online on our website. They are there, ready to either download or to listen to, actually on the web itself. So in week one, we looked at the idea of embracing change, accepting willingly, and going through these seasons of change with enthusiasm, because we understand that God's in control. He's got your best intentions at heart. And change gives us, as we said, the opportunity to grow in faith as we're refined in our character to be more like him. And we're encouraged to stretch our trust levels. In week two, we looked at the idea of prayer and reflection, looking at our need to take time out of the busyness of life to be with Jesus, to tell him how we feel about the season of change that we're going through, listening to what he has to say, reflecting, and learning once again to submit to his lordship. In week three, we looked at the value of the reset. Every one of us at some stage in life reaches a moment when perhaps we need a reset, perhaps when we need to be recalibrated, when we need to perhaps, we've kind of drifted, not saying we've backslidden away from God or anything like that, but we just need to be recalibrated, make sure that our focus is in the right place, where the connection is not quite as good as it used to be, but needs to just get back to where it should be. And we looked at how we need, in order to do the reset, we need to make sure that we stop carrying the baggage, perhaps from a previous season, into the next chapter. We looked at the importance of checking our connection with God and asking him to reveal anything in us that needs to be changed. And taking time then, if there is things that need to be changed, to get them fixed so that we can then be ready to move forward. The second part of the reset, we looked at adjusting our focus from ourselves and lifting our eyes to the bigger picture. And then the third and final part was preparing ourselves for something new. Because God is always wanting to say something to you in your life and in my life through every season of change that we face. Even if it's a really hard season of change, God wants to say something to you. If it's a great season of change, he wants to say something to you there. He wants to prepare you and so that you're ready. And then in today's fourth and final part of our series, we're looking at the importance of the advance. What does it mean for us to advance forward? If you turn with me very, very briefly to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. We're going to dip in and out. Most of us know this story really well. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. It says, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?' 'Neither,' he replied, 'but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I've now come.' Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, 'What message does my Lord have for his servant?' The commander of the Lord's army replied, 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy.' And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went in and no one went out or came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I've delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound the loud blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a shout. Then the wall of Jericho will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in.'" So we'll stop it there. How many people know that story? Round the walls of Jericho. How many people know the song? Lydia knows the song. Round the walls of Jericho. We won't do that now. It's when the kids all fall down, you know, because round the walls of Jericho, round the walls of Jericho. The army went 7 times without stop. Anyway, I won't keep singing that because we'll digress. But the point is that this story, we know, it is one that is so fitting. But it's so fitting for what we need to speak about this morning, about advance, about moving forward into the season ahead. So you've readied yourself to embrace the challenge of change. You've spent time to pray and reflect. You have reset your mind and spirit in ready for this season. You're as confident as you can be. But what next? Well, the time has come for you to advance. Because staying still won't get you anywhere. It will just cause you eventually to stagnate and to get frustrated. When God says advance, he means advance. The time has come. So what does it mean to advance? Well, advance means for us to take a step forward into the unknown, often without knowing all the answers and how things are going to turn out. That is generally what happens when you advance. I don't know anybody who knows exactly what's going to happen. As I think about Erica and I's situation with our change that's coming, nothing's come all at once. Nothing's come where everything seems really, really easy. But God has done things step by step and asked us to do certain things step by step. He doesn't give you always the whole picture. Now, taking a step into the unknown might make it feel like a really scary proposition because it'll take you out of your comfort zone. But it doesn't actually need to be a scary place because you're not on your own. This morning, God is on your side. If you're facing a health diagnosis, he is on your side as you step into a new season. If you are looking to change jobs, he is in that situation. If you're going through a little bit of trouble at home with the kids or with your spouses or with your family, God is still in control. He's still moving you there step by step by step. He's on your side. Now, culture and society would say that when you advance, it's about having trust in your own abilities and having a goal for the season of change. But God has different ideas about what it means to advance. Advancement with God equals confidence and purpose. Advancement with God means confidence and purpose, which eventually will lead to growth and to become more like Jesus. Advancing in confidence. You see, it's not about being reliant and confident in your own ability, however proficient your skills may be, but rather it's being confident about who God is, what he's done for you in the past, and knowing that he's walking before you into the next season. Nothing that we do in this life of worth, it comes from our own confidences or comes from God. Gives us the skills, yes, but it's he that goes before us. We have confidence in him. Isaiah 52 verse 12 puts it like this: "For you shall not go out in haste, and you shall not go in flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard." He will lead and guide you. And then the second bit, advancing with purpose. God has got plans and purposes for you and me that go way beyond what we understand and have already even previously experienced. He's got greater things than you've experienced right now, and he's got greater things even than you understand. And you might think, well, I understand quite a lot about God and about the things that he's got for me. Let me tell you, there's even more than you can imagine. We need to put our trust in advance with purpose. We can know that he's got our best interests at heart, and he'll make it clear when we need to do what we need to do as we move forward. Psalm 32 verse 8, I love these words. "I'll instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." Anything that you go to do as you advance into the new season isn't done blindly. That's a positive thing, but it also can be looked at a bit negative because he actually sees what we do. He sees everything. Nothing is hidden from his eyes. So we want to make sure when we walk forward in purpose that it's his purposes, so that he is pleased. So what are the keys then to this godly advancement in seasons of change when we find ourselves in them? Well, in order to advance, It seems simple, but it's important. We need to have faith. We need to have faith. If you're making notes, in order to advance, you need to have faith. 9 times out of 10, when we enter into a new season of change, we're unsure where we're going to end up. God, in his wisdom, doesn't let us know all the ins and outs. Usually, he just lets us into the first couple of steps. Why? Because God wants us to have faith in him. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." That is what this life is about. Our relationship with him is about. We trust and know that God knows what he's doing, and he has our best interests at heart. And it wouldn't be one of my sermons, particularly on these last occasions, that I wouldn't mention my favourite scripture. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. We need to have faith. In the story of Joshua that we know so well and the walls of Jericho, we find a commander of the Israelite army who is in the midst of a massive season of change. And he's called by God to advance into the promised land. And in doing so, he would need to show a great level of faith. Only recently, in a few chapters before that, in chapter 1, Joshua is told to start leading the Israelite army. Moses, the commander before Joshua's mentor, had died. And God had now passed on that mantle to Joshua. And Joshua 1 verse 6 says, "Lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them." So he's getting himself ready to advance. So this advancement into a new season starts with Joshua leading the Israelites into battle against Jericho. But this was no ordinary battle. Rather than go to battle fighting the enemy with swords, God's told them they're to do battle by marching around the city of Jericho with priests blowing trumpets and the Ark of the Covenant, God's presence, leading them. Everyone has to stay silent. They were to do this once every day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, to do it 6 times. And on the seventh time, to let out a massive roar. Can you imagine? I mean, this city's not small. Can you imagine having to stay silent, marching around the city? That would probably take a long time, in silence. Can you imagine kind of what they might have felt? I know if my kids had to walk around a city like that, they couldn't do that silently. It's difficult, isn't it? But this is what God's saying to them. Be silent. And it doesn't seem to me like to be a recipe for success, does it? An army unguarded, just marching around a city, not fighting. Being perhaps that thought of being picked off by the enemy from the towers with their own bows and arrows. But what did Joshua do? He chose to show great faith, believing God had a bigger plan, even though the Israelites probably thought he'd lost it. He gave the Israelites all the instructions. He said, verse 7, and he ordered the people, advance. Important. Get going. March around the city with the armed guard, going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. When we advance into a new season of change, it's likely that we will have questions. God will ask us to do something that may seem strange to us. The question is, will we trust and have faith in him and his processes? What we must remember is God's ways are not our ways. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You've got to have faith in a season of change. You won't get anywhere if you don't have faith. Secondly, in order to advance, we need to be obedient and to be disciplined. As you enter a new season of change, if God tells you to do something in a certain way, I would tell you this morning, it's in your best interest to be obedient to his instruction to the letter. God sets out instructions to follow, not because he wants to be some kind of dictator, but for our own good, so that we will grow in faith, achieve what he's asked, and become the people he wants us to be. It's when we don't follow his instruction, when we get impatient or we're not disciplined, that things can go wrong. Take the great Old Testament prophet Jonah. God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh to preach against this people that they need to turn from their wicked ways and turn back to me, otherwise my wrath's coming. What did Jonah in his wisdom decide to do? He decided to advance in the wrong direction. Getting on a ship to Tarshish in the opposite direction, ended up finding himself at the bottom of the sea after being chucked overboard in the belly of a fish. His disobedience, his lack of following God's instruction led him into danger. We don't want to be like that. We need to be a people who stay the course, remain disciplined to what God says, even when people are telling us to do things differently. God had specific instructions for Joshua and the Israelites for them to have victory. It was unorthodox, it was simple, but it went against everything they would have felt as warriors. The question was, would they be obedient? Would they stay disciplined? I like putting myself in a story. I wonder, as Joshua and his men advanced for that first walk around the fortress of Jericho with no swords or bows and arrows, how do you think they might have felt? I know how I would feel. I know God said this, but this seems rather strange. But they did it. I can guess that we don't know we don't get the whole narrative in this particular instance of what the Israelites would have felt. But I guess there probably would have been some grumbles. There would definitely have been some confused looks and perhaps some even questioning in secret. Yet what happened was they still obeyed what God told them to do. Imagine for a moment if they decided to ignore what God had said. What if they decided to go off script and drew their swords? What if they didn't follow his instructions to the letter? What about if they weren't silent? What if they didn't walk around the exact amount of times around Jericho as they ought to, or they tried to cut corners? Would it have made a difference? Could they have lost? We don't know what would have happened. But what we can know is, and from my personal experience, and I'm sure for you too, when we fail to do what God asks us, we can usually end up in a position of danger or even compromise at times. I'm sure we've all been in that position. God tells us to do something. He tells us to do it a certain way. And we go, I think I'll do it this way. Or, no, don't want that. I'll ignore it completely. What happens? You know this. You know your story. I know my story. It ends up getting us in trouble. If we truly love Jesus, if we want to advance, move forward, gain ground successfully in our seasons of change, we need to be obedient and disciplined. Jeremiah 7 verse 23 says, obey my voice and I'll be your God and you shall be my people, and walk in the way that I command you, that it may be well with you. We follow his instruction. He will be our God. He will walk with us. And it will be well with you. Can't think of anything better than that, really. That if we obey his call. Thirdly and finally, to advance, we need to cling to what is unchanging. When things are all changing around us, the one thing we all desire more than anything else is to have someone or something we can rely on that stays consistent. I would say this morning, for those of you who perhaps watched the football last night and saw the victory on penalties, don't put your trust that they're going to win the next time. They can be inconsistent, we know that. The point is this, putting ourselves, our trust in things that are changing, is not good for us. We need to put ourselves and we need to put our trust in the one person that is unchanging. Some people look to spouses, don't they, for their rock solid stability. Some people look to possessions. Some people look to friends. Other people look to jobs, money and the like, or that elusive European Championships. And as much as we may think it helps, the reality is that none of us or none of these things are actually reliable. If we rely on people, however great, they'll eventually let us down. If we rely on possessions, they'll eventually break or we'll lose their worth. If we rely on self, we'll eventually get into all kinds of trouble. In an ever-changing world where seasons often change and at times abruptly, we need someone who is unchangeable, who won't be swayed by circumstance or feelings, who will have their finger on the pulse of your life, who will keep you moving forward regardless of the season. God may not always be what we think we want or what we think we're looking for, but he's definitely what you need today. He's definitely what you need tomorrow and in the seasons ahead, because he is unchanging, unshakable. Psalm 102, verse 25 to 27, you laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you'll remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you're the same, and your years have no end. I want to trust in somebody that is unbreakable, unchangeable. Jesus is that person. Many of the characters we find in Scripture didn't always know what the end would be with their seasons of change, or whether they would see what God had promised, but they advanced with confidence and purpose because they clung to Jesus, the one person who is unchangeable in a changing world, knowing that he had their best interests at heart. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. What will you do this morning? Will you choose to advance into the unknown and be willing to cling to Jesus, the one person who has your back and will bring you through? Or will you stay where you are and with it the potential to stagnate and to not grow? See, we all have a choice this morning, that when we face those seasons of change, will we just stay where we are, cover our head, bury our head in the sand, and hope it will go away? Or will we advance, however difficult and painful it may feel, will we advance to that next, into that next season, grow and become more like Christ? I guess the choice is yours, as it is mine this morning. So in conclusion, change is inevitable. You can't run away from it. The question is, will we embrace it or will we fight against it? As we've looked at throughout the series, we need to be a people who are willing to embrace change God's way. When seasons of change are on the horizons, we need to take the time to reflect and pray. We need to take time to reset, to be healed, get our focus right, and then we need to advance. We can advance with confidence and purpose, not because of our own efforts or even our own dreams, but because what God has done in and through us and the plans he has specifically for us in the past, in the present, and in the future. We may not know what the outcome of the change will be. We don't know what we'll face along the way, or even when we don't even know where we'll end up. But to advance properly, we need to do so by faith, trusting in God, with obedience and discipline, and all the while hanging on to Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith and of your soul. Change, it happens regardless. But if we see it the way God sees it, change can be an exciting time. It can be a time where we'll grow in our faith and we'll become the people who he's called us to be. And surely that should be our goal, to become like our Saviour. Today, and perhaps when you go through seasons of change, you need to go through them all, and then it will come to the time when you need to advance, to move forward step by step. My prayer is if you're in that position right now, that we will make that first step and say, God, here I am. This season may scare me a little. I may not be certain about what's going to happen, but here I am. And we make the step. So let's pray together, shall we? as we finish.